Yeah, sure. To be honest, the scene here is really wonderful. I think Vancouver has like an incredibly diverse and really strong idol performer scene. I think it's really surprising, but I think we all like inspire each other to go and pursue things, and that's how it, our community keeps growing stronger and stronger. But before this, I would say that the main events that idols could perform at was Annie Riveau. So that's like the biggest stage, but that's once a year, just in the summer, just once. And then there's Haru Matsuri and Aki Matsuri, and also now Papa Panami, which are like smaller, more like community mini conventions, I'll call them. That are around Vancouver, which did host like stages for idols to perform at. So before Anime Social YVR came around, those were like your options if you wanted to perform as an idol. But then what we wanted to do, because a lot of the people on our organizing team are also performers, is we were like, we want to give performers more chances to perform. We want to make the experience better, you know, because we're also performers, we feel like we can add to the overall, especially the behind the scenes experience for performers to make it better. So, for example, we've done four, is it four? I think it might be four. I might be counting wrong, but Anime Social event. Our biggest one was Idol Fest in November, which was a 2-day event in Aberdeen Square, which was basically like a full day of performances. And our main highlight was we had girl idols or the kawa idols, the very cute ones, on day one, and then on day two we had the boy kakoi, the handsome idols, on day two, and we tried our best to like you know provide stage lights, do as much you know advertising as possible, and really give the performers a chance to show off their skills and their love for what they do to everyone. And also give them a chance to sell their merch. That's a really big one because, like you mentioned earlier, in this show, meeting your idols and getting to purchase mementos from the performance, is really, really key to this community.
I just want to add one thing to what Pocket said. Like, I agree. Back then, there was a very limited amount of events that you could perform at. But even nowadays, there are a lot more new idol groups popping up here and there, and even they still do it today nowadays. But even back then, if there wasn't an event that you can go to or didn't have the chance to perform an event, there was a lot of people who could just perform at a space outside. That was also very popular, especially if you're a new group at starting out. So if you're at a local convention and you see a group that's performing maybe outside, check them out. Maybe they're just starting off and getting their feet wet.
Absolutely. There's also like it keeps growing higher and higher, the number of groups debuting.
Oh, yes.
It's actually getting quite competitive, this scene.
Oh, absolutely
It's
it is.
crazy. Every event organizer I know has to struggle to decide who gets to perform because there's only so much time at every event. And so it's always a debate.
And you know, all the power to those who get in, right? Like, this is your chance. You got it. Most wanted, you know?
Awesome. I appreciate those responses. It gives me so much insight about what it's like out here. The interesting thing about it also is like everybody who I ask this question to, and I ask basically as many people as I can whenever I meet them, is that they've always got a different answer for me. That I've gotten people telling me that actually it's like it's not happening a lot. I've gotten people telling me that it used to be really, really poppin', and you know, after the first couple of years of the pandemic, people started to like just do their own thing, not performing as much anymore. I'm really new to this scene, even though I've loved idols for a very long time, and mostly just mainstream idols. In the past couple of months that I've gotten into the idol scene in Vancouver, I do kind of notice that like every couple of months I'm often seeing like on social media like somebody's gonna debut, somebody's gonna like do a new group, like a new concept or something like that. So that's really exciting. it can't be easy curating your programming. I don't envy you at all. I want to talk a little bit also then in that sense about, like, you know, just like the kind of like the concept of an idol, because as we're talking today, it kind of like the image that comes to my head when it's like, oh, there's somebody like performing outside of an event, and you know, maybe they're just starting out or something or another, it kind of reminds me just of like your typical independent musician. I'm really interested in knowing, how am I going to phrase this question? I want to know more about the identity of your groups. You know, how did you conceptualize your style? How did you conceptualize how you were going to do things, how you were going to organize yourselves, and the vision that you have for your group as performers, or as however far removed your idol persona and performing persona is to you? Yeah, talk to me about the identity of your groups.
If I may, for Boyish Seven, our whole goal is just to bringing the idol voice that people love to life, because we also like to call ourselves a 2.5D idol group, because all of our performances are centered around, mostly like a good 90% of them are centered around anime idol voice series. And we, through our performances, we try to bring those characters to life, bring their interactions, bring those performances to life, and just having a different perspective on the series and the performances. That's us.
Peachy, do you want to go?
Well, sure. Okay. I feel pressure speaking for all my group. I'm a little nervous they will listen to this and tisk me, but I'll do my best. So for us, as I mentioned, we began with Love Live Superstar. So Love Live is a 2.5D idol. So we talk about like 2D, 2.5D, 3D. So 2D is like straight up just anime. And 2.5D is media like Love Live, where like there are animated idols, but the voice actors of the characters also perform the song. So when you go to their concert, there is like 3D person there singing the song. But when you watch the anime, it's 2D. So they're like kind of in the middle, they're 2.5D. So we started covering only those. However, as we sort of grew and as we entered the idol scene in Vancouver, we were exposed to a lot of new things. So me personally, I was always a big fan of Vocaloid, and thankfully Cloud Town helped to show my members that Vocaloid is really awesome and fun to dance. And so we started to branch out into like Vocaloid, and then there was also the uprising of VTubers, so like virtual YouTubers, and they also have some really good songs. And then as well, recently our hearts have been swayed by like 3D idols, just straight up, I guess, like default normal idols, like real people. So as much as our concept originally was just this one specific group from Love Live, we definitely didn't want to put our interests in a box, because our goal first and foremost is to have fun and enjoy what we do. And we really just hope that people enjoy us enjoying ourselves, because as much as we would love to have a very like specific brand and we only do these characters, it's wouldn't be authentic to us ourselves. And yeah, I mentioned all of us, I'd say maybe even before we are idols, we are idol fans. So we kind of just follow wherever the wind blows us sort of thing, because we think that our joy from idols will translate well to the audience if we just do what we actually care about. And yeah, we want to convert more people to be like otaku and do worage and a bunch of other things that idol fans can do to express their love for idols. So I guess we want to be flashy in an authentic way.
I do agree with the whole idol fans. In the root of it all, we're all idol fans. We're all sharing that love, right? I get it. 100%.
100%.
So for Cloud Town, our slogan is Welcome to Cloud Town. So basically what we want to do is we want to share our, like, similar to Estella. We want to share our enthusiasm and excitement towards the songs or the dances we love. So, like, if you're welcome to Cloud Town, and then at this place, you don't need to worry about anything outside. So, like, no worries, no pressure, just enjoy the music and the dance and the vibe. Yeah,
that's
basically
it. That's really cute.
Thank you.
I feel welcome in Cloud Town. I love that.
Me too. I live Cloud Town. I live at Cloud Town. I'm resident.
Yeah, it's a safe space over at Cloud Town. Everybody, welcome and join in. I appreciate your insightful answers over there, because I feel like something that I find really interesting just observing the scene is just how expansive the concept of an idol is for overseas performers. Whereas, you know, in the more orthodox idea of being an idol is, like, you perform original music, you have, like, this, like, your persona and your image and your aesthetics are all curated by, like, a team of marketers and producers, and then a big, big part of your identity and your work, I guess, has to do with the parasociality of everything. It's so amazing to see how opposite that is with the overseas idol community. You're not getting produced by, you know, any big backers or investors or anything like that. You're just doing the dang thing because you like it and you hope other people will like it as well. And the conceptualization of being an idol is also quite different, right? Like, typically it would be like, you're performing original music made by these producers. But you are all saying, like, well, that property already exists. I'm just going to put my own spin to it. And what's important is, you know, reaching out to other people and spreading this, like, exciting feeling of joy, watching people just, like, do what they love, which is, I think is so... It's so lovely. It's so sweet. I love that so much.
It is very sweet and lovely.
Yeah. I mean, like...
Oh. Can I also I want to add on to that, because every single idol has their own special way to show that love, right? And that's the whole concept of Oshi's coming in, because, oh, I like how they show their love for idols. I like how they show their love for performers. I like them. And then another person's going to be a little different. And like, oh, wait, I really appreciate them. So, and there's, like, different... You start supporting these different idols through their different ways of performance and how they show themselves as an idol, which is cool. And, you know, in the end, we're all very supportive of each other and we all love each other.
Mm-hmm. For the listener who's not aware as well, Oshi just kind of means, like, your favorite. So you got your favorite, and then now you're being exposed to other people who will maybe soon also become your favorite. Yeah, that's great. If you're just tuning in on Typically Tuesdays here, I'm talking to the organizers and performers of Moikkai. This is an event that's happening this Saturday over at the Gaming Stadium in Richmond. And it is an idol-centric music fest, kind of. Yeah, I guess that's how I would explain it. That's how I would summarize it personally. So let's talk more about the event. I want everybody to give me a little preview of what people who go can expect to see. It could be a number that you've been working on for a long time that's new. It could be a performance that's, like, beloved by your audience. It could be a cute little detail on a new outfit, or just, you know, just something that you're going to bring that people can look forward to. So give me a taste. Give us a taste.
I can go first. Mine's the most unserious. Okay, the set list that we have prepared for Moikai is we're calling it Silly Stella. So generally, we use Stella as like a suffix and just put any sort of word in front of it. So like whenever we're late, we say, oh, we're late Stella today. but for this event, we are Silly Stella. So every single song on our set list has a silly sort of vibe. No one is very serious. Sometimes we like to do edgy songs and have like serious faces, but this time we're having, oh, I can't even think of a word other than silly. Yeah, there's lots of props. Like I just ordered 4 sets of pom-poms on Amazon, but there's only a few songs that can be, so maybe
I'm
think about it.
Formulating in my
formulating,
mind.
Formulating. Yeah,
I am formulating. I'm thinking.
Yeah, so due to the timing of the event, because actually, like we mentioned, there's not usually events at this time, so we were kind of snoozing, but then we got an email for Anime Social, we woke up, so we began to prepare a set list. So there's actually 4 new songs, so we're working hard to be as silly as possible, and we hope you will like our silly new outfits as well.
I'm stoked. I'm excited. To add on to that, for Voyage 7, we will be debuting our new outfits ourselves, all white and sparkly and cool and dark. So we hope you look forward to those. It is a completely new set list with one returning song. But yeah, we hope you all look forward to it. Fun new outfits, fun new songs.
Silly 7.
Silly 7. Silly 7. Silly. There you go. There's 11 of us, despite the name. But
whoa.
Yes.
Yes, I'm so looking forward to everybody's new outfit. So Cloudtown is also gonna have our new outfit as well. It's gonna be really summery, and we're also gonna do another sing and dance live. With some new songs and our new choreo for monitoring, as I said. What? We're super excited. It's still under processing. Like, I'm still making it right now. So, we got this.
I think people really can't understand how close to the event sometimes we prepare. Yeah. But Cloudtown always pulls it off.
Oh, and Sun, do you want to talk about our sound?
Our what, sorry?
Everything about the stage.
Oh, the stage? I think for Moikai, we'll probably have the most production quality and heavy set of any like locally produced conventions. Like, I don't think it even comes close.
No, that sounds
so
exciting.
We have a couple professionals like who actually work in the stage performance industry on our team, and I don't think that any other convention really has that.
Dang.
Yeah. And I think Annie's Social was like one of the first, or we might be the first, to, I think, might have been the last year's Annie, like Idol Fest, to have like actual stage lights. Because mostly if you see performances, it's just ambient lighting, the room, right? But we actually had stage lights that time. So I think that kind of is what sets us apart. Like, our production quality is, I think, is the highest out of everyone.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Looking forward to it. That sounds so awesome. Very exciting.
Do you want to talk about what UAM is going to be, tease a little bit about your set?
So UAM will be playing some anime covers, some anime openings, but we'll also be playing some of the most popular vocalist songs. There's 2 of them on there. I can't see exactly what they are, but they are on Nico Nico Duga, which is the Japanese YouTube. There's 2 songs that are in the top 20. So people can look forward to that. There's also going to be some openings from more recent animes, so that's more relevant, so that would be pretty exciting. And also some songs that aren't anime or vocally, but from like the most popular like J-rock producers.
I'm going to be busy crying on the side before the performance.
me too.
Screaming to your set.
Why are we crying?
From emotion.
Nostalgia.
Hearing my favorite songs live.
These days, the idol media, not only like the Vancouver idol scene, but even just idol media itself is really like coming up. It's a lot more idol material these days. Mm. So there's a lot of new trendy songs to cover, which of course is awesome. But there's also a lot of old treasures that are really nice to be unearthed sometimes. So sometimes like not hearing it for a long time makes it even more special when you hear it. So I'm looking forward to some nostalgia from UAM.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. If you, you know, if you've had a taste and you're like, I want to know more, you know, talk to me about where people can buy tickets to the event. We finally got to the most important part.
Absolutely. So if you wanna see any of this production quality, get some of this Idol love, it's going to be this Saturday. So that's July 12th at the Gaming Stadium in Richmond. If you search Anime Social YVR on Instagram, that's basically where all of the information is. You're going to see a super summery, watery, bright blue and white poster on our main Instagram page called Mo'ikai, which translates to one more time, because after you watch this show, you're going to be shouting, one more time, do it again, encore, encore. So if you go to our Instagram account, Anime Social YVR, you're going to find a link to our Square site, and you can get your tickets there. And I will say, especially if this is your first time hearing about idols in this scene, this is a really good event to get your very first taste, because with your event badge and your ticket, you're going to get a special space on the badge to get a signature from whoever is your favorite, any of your favorite performers from the day. You can get your one special signature after the event to really commemorate the experience, which hasn't been done before at the local cons that I know of. And also, there's a really stacked lineup. It's at a good venue. It's going to look cool. It's going to be awesome. This is probably the best event to drop and dip your toes into this idol space if any of this sounded interesting to you.
Yeah, definitely. I can't believe I forgot to also mention, in addition to UAM, Estella, Cloudtown, Boyish, Seven, we've also got Bon Bon Beat, Fruity Zeus, and Maple Blossom, three other, newer? Are they newer groups?
Fruity Zeus has been around for a very long time as well. Maple Blossom and Bon Bon Beat are on the newer side.
All right. Yep. We've got a mix. We've got a good mix of new and veterans happening over at this event. So please do consider checking it out. Final question of the day. You know, how can people support you beyond just going to the event?
We are on social media. if you don't mind me giving the usual Boyish 7 social media plug, we are on Instagram, we are on YouTube, we are on TikTok, we are on Facebook, we are on Twitter, and all you gotta do is look up Boyish 7, and Boyish 7 is spelled B-O-Y-I-S-H 7. And one more time, Boyish 7 is spelled B-O-Y-I-S-H 7. Look us up on social media. Ooh. And then, yeah, that's us.
Yes. Follow us all.
For us, you can also find us on primarily Instagram and honestly TikTok. It's Estella YVR, E-S-T-E-L-L-A YVR. But I think what sticks out most to us is meeting people in person. So if you manage to come to Mo'ikai, even if you don't end up in our meet and greet line, if you see us in the hallway, just say hi. And honestly, you may not think it, but when we're on stage, we can hear everyone yelling. So if you yell one time, I will remember you. And of course, there's a lot of other events happening all year and next year and the year after that. I'm sure you'll catch all of Stella, Cloudtown, Boyish 7, Bon Bon Beat, Fruity Zeus, and Maple Blossom, and UAM there as well. So please look forward to not only Mo'ikai, but seeing us in the future as well.
And just in case you don't know how to spell Cloudtown, it's C-L-O-U-D-T-O-W-N and _ idols. Yay! We are on Bilibili, YouTube, Instagram.
UAM is on Instagram at uam.band. We also do have a YouTube channel. Just don't ask us what UAM means. We don't even know.
Valid.
Trade secret.
You and me.
Aww.
You have me banned?
That's so cute. We've been told this, you are mid, but I'll take that.
Oh. No, I don't think you guys are mid. You guys are awesome.
Idols are very positive.
Yes.
Positive feeling.
You are mega banned.
This is Bird Note. True to their name, greater yellowlegs are shorebirds with bright yellow legs and feet. Ever wonder why? Perhaps it's so they can see them better. Wading in shallow water to capture small fish and insects, a yellowlegs can keep track of its legs by their bright color contrasting with the sometimes dark and irregular bottom. Keeping track of toes allows quick movements without a misstep. A sanderling, on the other hand, has black legs and feet. Running up the sandy beach in front of an advancing wave, it too is aware of every step, as those black toes stand out against the pale sand. It turns out that shorebirds that forage on dark substrates, such as mudflats, usually have pale legs, while those on paler substrates, such as sand beaches, have dark legs. Mother Nature is good with the fine details. How about the brilliant orange legs of ruddy turnstones? Well, they forage just about anywhere on the shore, and those orange legs stand out like a neon light. Black-necked stilts have bright pink legs, and like yellow legs, they wade in water, where one bright color is probably as good as another. See photos of all of these birds and get a look at those legs when you come to our website, birdnote.org. For BirdNote, I'm Michael Stein.
In all of my decades of living, I could have never guessed that Michael Stein of BirdNote fame would be out here openly objectifying shorebirds. Like, that was just not on my bingo card for 2025, but hey, life is full of surprises. I hope you learned a thing or two about birds during that PSA. And you're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are hitting the top of the hour. Thank you so much for tuning in. And of course, I hope you do consider checking out Moikai. Go support the local idol community. They're a fun time. Big, 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 big thank you to Pocket, San, Mickey, Shire, and Peachy for their time talking with me today. And hey, if you enjoyed what we discussed and you like hearing a show that's about something kind of nerdy and niche, you might really love Vitcouver. It's Vancouver's only chiptune broadcast, and it airs every Tuesday from 8 to 10 in the evening. Video game music, electronic music, you know, lots of Vocaloid music. You'll love it. Again, that's Bitcoover every Tuesday from 8 to 10 in the evening. I'm going to close off today's show with one final track. Since we've been talking about anime, since we've been talking about idols, here is a song from an anime about idols, and the song sounds like it's sung by Showa era idols, but the anime is set and made in the Heisei era. Like, what is happening? Here is Aki no Anata no Sora Toku by Lily White. I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays, and I'll talk to you very soon.